it's like that. I hope that it inspires that after they've read the book, it's like, let's try one of Todd's recipes that are in the book and let's make macaroni and cheese together and eat it. And as a family that they come together, because I think we all know that, you know, families that spend more time together eating are stronger. And I think it's really important in busy lives to bring everybody together.
Hey everyone, I'm Bianca Schultz from the Children's Book Review, and this is the Growing Readers Podcast. Now, if you could see the books that I'm holding in my hands right now, today's guest would need zero introduction, but since it's not a visual medium, you can't see the vibrant colors and uber kid-friendly artwork exuding positivity. So I'll just have to tell you, it's none other than New York Times bestselling author-illustrator Todd Parr, who has been empowering millions of children worldwide with his bold images and positive messages for over two decades. He has created more than 60 books, including The Goodbye Book, The Family Book, The I Love You Book, and It's Okay to Be Different. Before we dig right into this conversation, I'm going to share the synopsis for his latest, absolutely deliciously fun picture book, The Monster Mac and Cheese Party. Through his signature illustrations that explode with fun and flavor, New York Times bestselling author Todd Parr invites everyone to the funkiest, most unforgettable potluck on the block. We all know kids love macaroni and cheese, but who knew monsters do too? In this story, the monsters hold a mac and cheese party, no humans allowed, and share all their creepy twists on this favorite food. What do zombies like? Mac and cheese with eyeballs. How do sea monsters eat their mac and cheese? In the bathtub, of course. The party is going fine until the monsters are surprised by the unexpected arrival of humans at the party. With interactive text that invites kids to join in with their own silly versions, mac and cheese with unicorns, anyone? And bold, colorful illustrations, this is a wildly fun read aloud with a positive message about the value of sharing meals with friends and trying new things. Well, hello, Todd Parr. Welcome to the Growing Readers Podcast.
Hello. Thanks for inviting me.
Are you in California right now?
I am. I'm in Planet Todd World, which if you've been to Palm Springs, then you know where Todd World is.
Perfect. Well, when I saw that you had a new book coming out and it was called The Monster Mac and Cheese Party, I knew I needed to use it as an excuse to have you on the show today. A huge fan of all of your books. And of course, we're mass consumers of mac and cheese in my house with three children. The first question I'm going to ask you is super, super tricky. What's your favorite kind of mac and cheese?
I'm not above anything. I will do the box. I will try anything. I have become somewhat of a more pickier. I'm not going to waste the calories on seemingly trying to pretend like I really like this. So I do experiment. I have two of my own favorite ones that I make. One that's just when you're having company over, and then the other one is a vegan one. So I got really creative with that. So I'm open to everything. I mean, I tried the world's best macaroni and cheese. It was good, but I'm not convinced. So
there you go.
It's like pizza. You know, if you're a pizza snob, so I'm becoming a mac and cheese. I prefer.
Well, we often do the box mac and cheese if my kids are making it themselves. But our favorite right now is this Ina Garten recipe, the Barefoot Contessa. Oh. She does this like baked one with Gruyere cheese. And I thought maybe my kids would be like, not going to try it because the Gruyere has kind of a stronger taste. But
yeah,
they actually loved it. My son isn't a fan of the baked breadcrumbs on top, though.
Oh, I can see that's not a requirement for me. When people ask, aren't you going to put something on top? I can, but no, it's not a thing. And I have tried the Barefoot Contessa's one, and I agree. I do like it. And I just had box mac and cheese the other night, so I'm good.
Okay, awesome. Well, so this is going to be the second most important question of the day. So you're the author and illustrator of more than 60 books for children, but you haven't always created books for kids. You were a flight attendant before becoming a full-time author illustrator. So I want to know, what was it or who was it that inspired you to create your first book, which was the OK Book? And I believe that was in 1999.
Yeah, it's like, I don't even know where to start. I think Snoopy inspired me in second grade. That's when I really learned that I loved art, because I traced Snoopy the black outline. I got so good I could actually draw Snoopy. Art was really one of my only interests all through school. Becoming a flight attendant and flying around the world gave me a lot of self-confidence that I didn't have. And I kept coming back to this, what do you really love to do? And I really love to draw and paint. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I don't care what anybody says. My art teacher didn't think I was any good in high school. I said, I don't care. I'm just going to start doing it. So I started putting my artwork on old furniture, canvases, and then I shifted into merchandise product. And then I needed an agent, somebody to represent my art so that it could free up more of my time and also bring in money, which I was struggling to do both. Being a flight attendant and have money to produce t-shirts and different things. And we did the licensing show in New York. 1 year I was in the artist section. I had all my original artwork, some product, created like a mini Tadpar pop-up. And someone was there and said, I saw your artwork from the end of the aisle. I had to come and see what this was. And I love your greeting cards. And have you ever thought about writing a children's book? I said, no, yeah, it's never even entered my mind. And she said, I'm an editor and I think you're kind of already doing it. And so it was her idea. And it's still my same editor today. So 20 some years later, she's the one that suggested it. I think the takeaway from that for me, I always tell kids, is there were so many times that I wanted to give up and I struggled and there was so much rejection. And everything that I did, it just wasn't that easy. The galleries wouldn't show my art. It's like, by not giving up, it led me into something that I wasn't even thinking about. So when you've lost all hope, try and hold on to some hope, because you can end up in a direction that you weren't even in. And I'm also good at giving very long answers. So
you can give the answers as long as you want. Okay. Can we just say thank you to your editor for coming and spotting you down the end of the aisle? Do you want to give her a shout out?
Yes, I don't even have words. And when you are an author, it's not uncommon for you to have several different publishers, several different editors. And although we've had, you know, other editors that I've worked with, Megan has always overseen, you know, my work. And I think, you know, the biggest thing with her, she saw something in me that I did not see in myself, you know, so I'm grateful. But again, she went out of a traditional way of how you look for authors. She just was wandering a licensing show filled with art and picked me out of it. So yeah, I'm forever grateful for her. And we've become close friends over the years. And I'm really lucky. I'm really fortunate.
Yeah, well, we are too. And so a lot of your books have a common thread, which is things like inclusivity and kindness and a lot of self-love. So I want to know what motivates you to continue creating books for kids with these themes.
I think the premise when I went, you know, Megan said, well, you know, what things would you write about? I think when I really thought about it, there weren't a lot of guidelines. And I thought about my experiences when I was younger that immediately come to mind about, I want to write about things to help other kids feel better about who they are. I struggled so much when I was younger and in school, and I had dyslexia, which wasn't even diagnosed or such a thing, I think, then. But I had trouble reading. I had to repeat second grade. Kids made fun of me. I was always in all the slower classes. I was shy. I was scared. I had a lot of problems in our home life. And I was lost. I don't even know how I made it through. And I just remembered that like, I want to be able to offer strength and hope and for kids to feel more positive about who they are and believe in themselves and know that you can talk about your feelings and you can have someone help you. So I always think about, that's what inspired the OK book was, and then later became It's OK to Be Different, a fuller version of truly what that was just about inspiring kids to feel good about yourself while learning about differences, reminding you to be kind in just a very matter-of-fact way. And that's maybe one of the reasons that I thought I couldn't write books is because I don't have characters. I don't have stories. I'm just talking about these messages. And in the beginning, people were like, what are these books? There's no characters. There's no pastel colors. There's no bunnies. There's no, what are these? You know, they're like self-help books for kids that it's okay to be different in the adult self-help section, you know, in Borders, if you remember Borders. No, it's a picture book, but it just wasn't yet perceived as a picture book. Now, you know, of course it is, but I've written about so many complicated things for young kids, my age group, you know, 4 to 6, about the peace book, taking care of the earth, the goodbye book. All these things are really hard to understand. And I keep their attention because I draw like a 6-year-old. They already think they can draw like me. The colors draw them in, the bold lines, and there's humor. But like with Monster Mac and Cheese, it's sort of like, I wanted to take a break from what is the message? The message in Monster Mac and Cheese is just feel good. It's just fun and feel good and laugh. And of course, comfort food. So it was a big thing for me to do because my editor had said, you know, we've had a lot of success targeting your books towards specific holidays. We don't really have a Halloween book. And I'm like, okay, let me think about it. And I was like, I wasn't feeling the Halloween idea. And I go, but this could come out around Halloween because it's monsters and they just happen to be bringing my favorite food, macaroni and cheese, and they loved it. And she's like, we were expecting a Halloween book and you did something even better. And so for me, I'm excited because I feel like it gives the people that read my books a break. Like, okay, Todd, we get about it's okay to be different and feelings and everything. And now it's just, let's have fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what I enjoyed about it. And on the whole, as a parent who reads your books with their kids, and my oldest is 17 now, and when she knew I was interviewing you and she saw the stack of books, she was like, oh, that guy, I loved reading his books when I was a kid. So, but I think what's great, and I imagine that teachers feel the same way, is sometimes there's these really sort of nuanced topics and subjects that kids ask you about, and they'll come out with a point blank question. And sometimes it's hard on the spot to come up with an answer. And I feel as though your books are a great way to articulate things like what is peace, what is joy, you know, all these great things. What is a grandma? And everybody's grandmas look different and sound different and do different. But the one thing is that they love their grandkids. I mean, you just have this really simple way of articulating. I want to go on to just the fact that the simplicity of your text and the illustrations do work so well because they deliver such clear and tangible messages. And I think your artwork is so accessible. Like you said, kids can look at it and feel as though they could draw those pictures mm-hmm. too. So I'm curious to know if, I know you said you struggled as a kid, but was making a difference in others' lives something that you've grown into? Or do you think that was always there for you, that you did always want to make a difference in others' lives?
Yeah, I think it was always there for me because it just came naturally. Like I write from within, I write from the heart, I write from, you know, it's that simple of how do you want someone to make you feel? You know, maybe if I had help in different ways, with maybe if I had something, you know, like a book that says, Be Who You Are, maybe that would have registered with me early on, or It's Okay to Be Different. Maybe I would have related like, oh, I'm different because I couldn't read and I stuttered and I had to repeat second grade. And I felt like I was the only one in the world and I was the only one that was different. And that wasn't a good thing. So I think for me, it was just naturally like, you know, heart to heart, how can you help? And I think that's what's so rewarding about, you know, what I get to do is people say, oh, that's such a cool job being a children's author. It is, but it's not just me writing books and collecting money and making appearances. It's about knowing that I'm putting work out there in the world because I've seen it translated and it's making a difference. And for me, that's the real reward. That's the give back. For the good that's come to me is me extending it to others to try and make a difference in the world. And, you know, in the beginning, everybody, and they still say it, is like you were so far ahead of your time because no one was writing about these things like I was, and people didn't know what to do with it. Or people would say like, oh, we don't need that book because my child doesn't have social emotional issues. And look at the world today, that how it's changed just in 20 years, and look at the impact of social media and content, how kids hear things and things are happening earlier and earlier. And you've got things that are heard at home and things that are heard at school. And it's like, you know, now people are like, well, we need to talk about these things instead of, no, we don't need to talk about it. And I think it's just giving kids better tools. They have to weather more. I mean, you know, you can, I was bullied in school. But how about being bullied on social media and school? I mean, how traumatic can that be? And, you know, if you can instill a sense of confidence, you know, in kids early on and let them know that, like, believe in yourself and it's okay to be who you are and love yourself and be strong. I think you need to arm them with as much as you can, as soon as you can, so that they can weather all that's out there. I mean, it's hard for me as an adult to weather, you know, what's thrown at me. So yeah, I think I worried about, will I run out of ideas? The fact is when you figure out your stride that I'm really writing to empower kids to feel good about themselves, I think the ideas are endless about in ways that you can do that. So I no longer worry about running out of ideas, just speaking from the heart, staying true to who I am. But I do love being able to take a break from the message and do something fun like Monster Mac and Cheese Party.
Even though it is a break and it is just pure fun and you could read this any time of year, or you could read it as a Halloween book with that monster theme. And I mean, what kid isn't going to connect over mac and cheese? Okay, there might be like a handful, but not very many. But it still has full Todd Parr signature style all over it from the artwork. And then you always close out the books with your little sort of almost like a personal letter as the end page. And in that's where I see opportunity to express to children that it's okay to try new things. The idea sounds like it came directly from your editor. Is that correct?
The idea to do a Halloween book did, and I struggled because I did not know how to do a Halloween book. I could not, it just wasn't coming to me. I have a book called the I'm Not Scared book, and that was, you know, an orange cover sort of built around, you know, Halloween-ish, but not specifically Halloween. And I tried, but it wasn't going anywhere. And what did take off was the idea was planted. You should do a Halloween book. And I'm like, I don't want to do a Halloween book. But what else will you do, Todd, if you don't do a Halloween book? And this is what I offered. And we encountered this for the Peace book years ago. I was sitting with my editor in her office in New York, and she said, what about a holiday book? What about a Christmas book? And I thought, yeah, I mean, I celebrate Christmas, but that just doesn't feel very Todd Parr, because not everybody does celebrate Christmas. And even though I love, you know, Hanukkah, and I'm not Jewish, and there are other things, it's like, it just doesn't feel like a Todd Parr book to do a Christmas book yet. It's too soon. And then I thought, I never want to exclude anyone in my work. And now I would not do a specific Christmas book because you need to say, well, if you're not going to do it, what are you going to do? And I said, how about the Peace book? Because it's sort of in the same thing of celebrating a time of year and peace and embracing, you know, differences in what people believe and celebrate. It's a loose thing, but that's what I offered. And so I think this is a good example of, if you're not doing a Halloween book, Todd, what are you doing? And this is what happened.
Yeah, I love it. And I also noticed that same sort of concept of the joyful book, because that's a beautiful celebration of so many different holidays. And I think I saw Kwanzaa in there. And so I love that, because it's like I said earlier, there's a common thread in all of your books. And the first word I believe I said was inclusivity. To just focus on one holiday, you'd definitely be eliminating. So I just love that you are being true to yourself and also to your readers. It's what they expect from you. So I love that. I know this is a common question that author illustrators get asked. What came first for you with this particular book, the words or the pictures?
I knew it was going to have monsters, and I knew it was going to have macaroni and cheese. You know, it's one of those things when you say, I've got to come up with something. And I'm looking at all the different monsters that I've drawn over the years. And I'm like, I really love these monsters, and how could they celebrate Halloween? Well, you know, I love Halloween parties, but, you know, wait, maybe, you know, this could be all about macaroni and cheese, because who doesn't love macaroni and cheese? And so for me, it was the premise was it was going to be monsters, and it was going to be macaroni and cheese. Then the hard part comes is the words. For me, that's always the hardest thing. The art is the easiest, but I learned, well, if you're having a party, you get really excited because you're waiting for everybody to come. So it was an easier start for me in this book, because I knew they were going to be waiting. And then there was going to be a ding dong at the door because the first person's here. And then it just flowed from there. So I think this is one of the easier books for me as far as words. That is not a strength of mine. I need a lot of help, you know, with my editor, and everybody involved is like, Todd, this just isn't moving like it should, but the art is. But, you know, so they reposition a lot of things. And then the words come in. But for me, this one, I thinking back in the edits, there wasn't as many edits, you know, because we knew it was going to be ding dong, then who's here, and then what mac and cheese, and ding dong. So this, it was really fun for me to do. And it's getting exciting because, you know, this is done a year ago, and, you know, you're on to the next thing. I'm already working on another book, you know, for next year. And then you're like, wait, you know, my author copies just showed up. This book is going to be out soon. And I'm re-excited about this thing. So it's hard to remember a year out, like how excited you were doing this.
When you've created a book at least a year ago, and then somebody asks you, you know, on the day that your book is releasing, what's your favorite spread? Do you get stuck, or do you know what your favorite spread is?
And this one, I know what it is. And also it came up in another, you know, an interview or another podcast, something that had come up is, what was your favorite page in this book? And it's definitely the sea monster, because it's just like, you know, everybody's like, the sea monster is here. And it's like, how does a sea monster eat macaroni and cheese? Well, in the bathtub, of course. And, you know, it's the laughter moment of all the monsters. And it's like, well, duh, a sea monster is in the bathtub eating macaroni and cheese. And that's also, you know, taken out of it's okay to be different, because there was a page in there, it's okay to eat macaroni and cheese in the bathtub. And people were like, Todd, what? And I was like, yeah, I just thought this book was getting too serious. So I thought I better put something in that's going to throw the reader off and go, what? And then make you laugh. And, you know, then it caught on. And, you know, I was hearing, you know, from parents that were upset about, why did you do this? Because now my child wants to eat macaroni and cheese in the bathtub, and that's not okay. And I was like, no, I didn't mean to start this trend that's happened. I know this isn't a thing. I was just using humor. And so it's kind of come full circle now that the sea monster is in the bathtub.
Yes. I was going to say that that is my favorite spread.
Oh, cool.
And totally because of what you just said, because I spotted it in It's Okay to Be Different. And the book nerd in me felt really proud that I had made that connection. So, yes, I love that. And it definitely elicits chuckles, which is always a nice thing in a book when you're reading with children to be able to laugh. So yes. I love that. When everybody is done reading The Monster Mac and Cheese Party, what do you hope that they will take away?
That it was a moment together with somebody that you love. I had many moments with my grandma reading Go Dog Go almost nightly. I spent a lot of time with her because of a lot of things in our family. And so Go Dog Go was a moment where I had the book memorized, but we still would stop and talk about pages. Like, why do you like this dog so much? And the blue dog. And even though I knew where all the dogs are going, it was like, what do you think that party is that they're going to, you know, in this tree? You know, it's just the imagining. And looking back, for somebody that doesn't love to read, the moment I had with my grandma, and I think that's what I want this book, and that's why I put in recipes in it. And it's just a simple, fun book that you can read with someone. I should have put a warning in it. I this was an afterthought. Warning, after you read this book, you will be very hungry for macaroni and cheese. So don't do it late at night, you know, but it's like that. I hope that it inspires that after they've read the book, it's like, let's try one of Todd's recipes that are in the book and let's make macaroni and cheese together and eat it. And as a family that they come together, because I think we all know that, you know, families that spend more time together eating are stronger. And I think it's really important in busy lives to bring everybody together. And so I'm hoping that it inspires beyond just the fun, that it brings, you know, families closer together. And, you know, they made macaroni and cheese for dinner one night and they read the book and it was a special night.
I love that, especially because I personally, my husband and I decided early on that dinner every night was going to be a family ordeal for like every night possible. And obviously sometimes things come up and you can't all be together, but for the most part, we eat dinner all together as a family of five every night, because I had read what you said is that that's a statistic that's proven that families that eat dinner together every night, you know, they have stronger bonds and connections and the kids typically flourish. So we committed to that, but there are definitely nights where my husband and I will look at each other and roll our eyes like, really, did we really need this family dinner tonight?
Yeah.
But I love the idea of everybody making the mac and cheese recipes in the back of this book together and eating it together. And I sometimes think that children's books, when you read them as a family together, they almost provide like an inside joke with you. So when you were saying Go Dog Go, that you read that with your grandma. So often when I'm out with my children and one of us is wearing a hat, we'll look at each other and say, do you like my hat? Which is the classic line, right? Throughout the Go Dog Go. And I just... Yeah. I love the idea that there's going to be kids wanting to eat mac and cheese in the bathtub, Todd. So any parent that tells you otherwise, that's wrong. It's okay to eat mac and cheese in the bathtub.
Well, I, you know, it's like I've had, you know, hostile, you know, comments about that. And, you know, it's serious. And I get it. But, you know, then I've seen the creative parent that says, no, we don't do that. But we made a cardboard box into a pretend bathtub and served macaroni and cheese. you know, or the teacher did in the classroom. It was just finding other creative ways to do it. And then, of course, there's all the parents that, you know, look, they're eating macaroni and cheese in the bathtub. And, you know, we did it. And again, it was not to inspire a trend. However, the Monster Mac and Cheese Party is to inspire a trend. Just have fun and try new things and make food together and eat together and laugh together. So I will say I'm there is a goal in Monster, and that is, yes, have fun, eat macaroni and cheese.
Yes, perfect. And if anybody does a book club with younger children, how fun would it be to read this book and then everybody comes and does a potluck and brings their own style of mac and cheese? I love that idea.
Yeah. Early on, you know, of course, It's Okay to Be Different was out, but I did a book signing at somewhere, I can't remember, in Minneapolis, and it was at nighttime and they had macaroni and cheese, you know, for everybody at the bookstore. So it's like, it just was like a no-brainer. It wasn't a requirement of mine, but it's like, oh, Top Heart's coming, let's have macaroni and cheese. Or, you know, I'm going to a school for a visit. Guess what they made in the lunchroom? Macaroni and cheese. And, you know, it's just, it's one of those comforting things to build around that adds just like security, comfort, you know, love. I mean, food does that. Anyway, so food and reading, I mean, yeah, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, both of those things can bring us together. Well, Todd, if there was one important thing that you would like to leave with our listeners today, what do you want that to be?
You know, I've touched upon so much of it. Also that I wrote the kindness book, and I think that we're all instinctively kind, but we all need reminders, even grownups. And I think that there's so much need for reassurance, and people need to know that it's okay to be who they are and feel good about who they are. I think there's so many struggles that, you know, we deal with in life. And if you don't have confidence within yourself, I think it just makes it harder. So it's like, believe in yourself, be who you are, be confident, and be kind.
I am so grateful to have you on the show today. I'm a huge fan of your books, just because I love that common thread of those messages, the inclusivity, the kindness, like you just said, and self-love, and not just self-love, but the importance of loving others for who they are too. So thank you very much. And I am going to love you and leave you, because now I am hungry and I'm going to go and make some mac and cheese.
Me too. Thank you so much. Dan, love Todd.
Thank you so much for joining us on this quest for growing readers. Be sure to check out our show notes. You'll find links to order a copy of Todd Parr's The Monster Mac and Cheese Party. A complete list of Todd's books and more information can be found at toddparr.com. He also invites you to visit him online on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you like this show, remember, you can hear it on Apple Podcasts, Chromecast, Spotify, or anywhere else you enjoy listening. Subscribe to the show to get new episodes as soon as they launch. If you're enjoying our book chats, please leave us a review. And while you're at it, tell a friend to come and have a listen. The Growing Readers Podcast is a production of the Children's Book Review. To find more books just like Monster Mac and Cheese Party, I hope you'll visit us at thechildrensbookreview.com. We'll be right back.